Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Very supportive of term limits. I think a commissioner should be given their best shot, and I think three terms they should be able to get something done.
Thank you. I am also for term limits. I believe two terms, that's 8 years. If you can't accomplish what you set out to do in 8 years, you should probably find another job. And I've been told, well, everything in government moves at a slower pace. The Board of County Commissioners are the one that control that pace. So if we want things to move faster, we can hire the right people, we can put in the right KPIs, and we can move our community along at a much faster pace.
This was the Women for Responsible Legislation Forum that included county commissioner seats for 4 and 5. Of course, 4 is vacant right now, and Ashley Hoffberger is the Republican, and Ron Helms. I always want to say Ed Helms. I'm sorry, just I do. But Ron Helms is the Democrat running, and they both said, yeah, we favor term limits. Ron Helms said 3 terms is plenty. Ashley says 2 is plenty. If you can't get it done in that period of time, you should probably get out of the way. So they're facing off for the District 4 seat. Of course, widely expected that she will win because Republican support in District 4 is so much stronger than Democrat support. The question, actually, David Morgan, former Sheriff David Morgan, was the MC/host.
Do you believe in term limits? And the second part is, if you do not or if you do, how many terms do you think is appropriate for a county commissioner?
Yeah, it's a good question. Okay. Josh Roberson, who is running as the no party affiliation candidate in District 5, which you would normally think, you know, NPA is probably an outside chance. But I will tell you, there's a lot of people who apparently are pretty fed up with Stephen Barry. And, you know, I just talked to a lot of people, and I hear from a lot of people they're thinking that Stephen Barry's seat is not safe, especially after all of the scandals and things that have plagued the county commission, all of the different lawsuits, the loss of money, the problems running the county. It just, you know, if you saw the Jeff Burgosh election, where Jeff Burgosh was, a lot of people expected him to win and win handily, at least with a plurality, and then he got beat and beat by a majority by Stephen Stroberger. You know, Barry would be dumb not to see, you know, because the anti-incumbent sentiment in Escambia County seems to be fairly strong. Anyway, so whether Josh Roberson will pull off the victory against Republican incumbent Stephen Barry, 3-term incumbent and looking for a 4th term, remains to be seen. But anyway, Roberson, who's a Navy guy, a former Navy guy, says this.
Two terms, 8 years. Government was never meant to be a permanent job. It's of the people, by the people, for the people. So get the new ideas in. You want to make it a career. You want to live off of the people's dollars. You still have to get new ideas in, move forward, get the new generation to come in. You start being, I don't know, I hate to say it out loud, but corruption starts seeping in. You start getting blinded, and you get the blinders on, and you don't look outside and take care of the people anymore. So 2 terms, move on. Our president doesn't get to do more than that.
Which, of course, a lot of that was sideswipe at Barry, right? You know, corruption starts to seep in. You don't pay attention to the people anymore. You just do what you do and think you're entitled to the seat. And, you know, the president only gets 2 terms. So what is a 3-term incumbent looking for a 4th term going to say when asked about term limits? Well, he can't say he's for them. I mean, Commissioner Burgosh always said he's for them, but then he ran for a 3rd term. You kind of think, what? Well, he lost, right? Stephen Barry can't come out in favor of term limits, sitting as a 3-term incumbent looking for a 4th term. So what's he going to say?
Thank you. Experience is valuable, and at its heart, especially the way Escambia County commissioners are elected by districts, there's, you know, that, as it was mentioned earlier, you serve the entire county, but you are voted on by, you know, by the constituents that live in your district. And, you know, thereby your report card every 4 years is going to be, you know, have you delivered responsible results to those voters in that district? And I feel like the citizens should have the right to, they should have the right to make the decision whether, you know, whether their elected official is retained or is not retained.
So that's kind of a long, meandering response that says, no, I don't believe in term limits. But, you know, to his credit, I suppose, there's an explanation in there, which is that experience matters, and he's not wrong. You know, the classic argument about term limits is where do you put the value, or how high do you put the value on experience? Because if you're always putting new people in office, well, what they lack is institutional knowledge. Government moves slow. Sometimes problems take, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 years to solve. And if you're turning over the people who are responsible for those solutions, then they don't know enough to shepherd it properly. That's, and, you know, new people in all the time means that you lose a lot of the relationships. Of course, in turning people over, you also tend to avoid the long-term incumbency, corruption problems, the loss of interest in serving the community, all the same things that Josh brought up, the feeling that you're entitled to the job. And there's another critique here which says that people who have been in office a long time, if you want to say, look, if you're turning over the office all the time with term limits, the problem is that the people won't have power, but the elected official won't have power, but the institutional knowledge will fall to the staff, and the staff will run things. And you shouldn't have the staff running the show. You should have the elected officials running the show. And so you're going to have somebody running it. It's a question of who makes that happen. And also, by the way, Stephen Barry's argument that, you know, the people should be entitled to their vote. We have term limits. You know, they're called elections. And if the people want to get rid of somebody. But, you know, we'll come back to this in a second. Because he had one follow-up comment. I want to give him a fair due to kind of explain himself on why he wants to be elected for a fourth term. 437-1620. John Pickens got traffic on the 5. John?
No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly right now. Still seeing that delay at 9 Mile and Highway 29 at that intersection. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about a new career and you want to get a different certification or an education, Pensacola State College, they have all kinds of programs like that. If you just want to take a personal enrichment class, you know, you can go to the community college just for fun, like because you want to learn about a subject that you've never known very much about, or just want to, you know, be around a group of people who are interested in learning, right? Or if you are a high school student and you want to get dual enrollment credit, like, you know, obviously credit for college, university, while you're in high school, hey, that's something that all three of our boys have done or are doing. Two finished already, and they're at the university with a year and a half of college credit. You know, they started as sophomores and a half, so they'll graduate younger, and that saves everybody money. And then dual enrollment, which is free as a high school student, that's sort of, you know, student-oriented. The community college teachers, or state colleges, we call them now, teachers, are always very flexible and work with you as a customer. Like, it's just great. And my younger son has just started there. So, great program. And of course, you know, if you just want to pursue a two-year degree, or and even some other degrees, Pensacola State has all kinds of options. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu. 617 here on News Radio 92.3. I said I'd come back to this conversation about term limits. Both Ron Helms and Ashley Hoffberger saying that's the District 4 candidates for County Commission in Escambia County, saying that they believe in term limits 3 or 2, respectively. Ron says 3, Ashley says 2. Josh Roberson says 2, the president gets 2, so why should anybody else get more? You let problems sleep in. Stephen Barry, running for a fourth term, of course, cannot say he's in favor of term limits, which puts him at odds with, I would say, the vast majority of Republican voters, because if there's an issue that Republicans seem to almost universally agree on, is that they believe in term limits. And so I'm not sure how this is going to fare for him as the Republican asking for a fourth term when Republicans have been pushing for term limits. You know, Michelle Salzman is perennially running the term limits for county commissioners bill, you know, ECUA, school board, all of these things, and let alone the federal, where we all agree that there ought to be term limits. I will say it this way. For my part, I'm very on the fence on term limits. I'm very conflicted about it because there's a part of me that very much sympathizes with the argument that if the people want to keep somebody, they should be allowed to keep them. And if they want to get rid of them, they should be allowed to get rid of them. I understand that there's a tremendous name recognition power in the incumbency and it becomes almost impossible to unseat people, but it can be done. I mean, you know, again, Jeff Bergosh had a couple of terms on the school board, massive name recognition, and two terms on the county commission. He got handily defeated. because people decided that they did not want him. So to a degree, Stephen Barry is right that people have the choice, right? If they like him, they can keep him. And if they don't like him, then they can get rid of him. And also think sometimes term limits become a proxy for wanting a certain person out of office. You know, we are going to trust in the term limit concept. You know, the guillotine of the term limit is going to replace the guillotine of the election. That's a bad strategy, generally speaking. If you can't persuade people that the person should be gotten rid of, then don't try the kind of end around of persuading them that everybody should be gotten rid of, you know, every couple of years. But in any case, I know I'm in the minority in my party on this. I know there are a few people who agree with me, but most people are very adamant in favor of term limits. Back to Stephen Barry's comments on why he thinks that term limits are a bad idea, and obviously he has to in order to be running for a fourth term.
Now, we've seen instances in local and national government and state government where state government not anymore, but local and national government where you have many, many term officials that are very effective and deliver responsible results to their constituents in an ethical way. And I think you see the other side of that coin. I think that our voters are, much like electing a superintendent rather than having one appointed. I think our voters are capable of instituting term limits when they see that it's fit, when they see that their elected official is not delivering to them, is not delivering results to their liking in their neighborhood. And I think that if we put the power of the vote in the voters, I think that the voters will continue to do what they think is best and what's right.
Yeah, never the real strong statement of, no, I oppose term limits. But, you know, he basically said that. And again, I think he has to say that if he's running for re-election to get 13 to 16 years, which is what the fourth term would be. But, you know, I don't totally disagree with him on the reasoning, And again, I think a lot of, but I do think that name recognition thing is, don't underestimate that. So there's a lot to the conversation about term limits. And sometimes it's treated like a very simplistic thing. 621 on News Radio 92.3. I was curious, though, how this would go when David Morgan asked the question and three out of the four people said, yeah, term limits are great. And then the guy who's been in office for 12 years has to talk. I think it's okay to stay in office a while, because I am. 622, News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499, with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas, or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months, or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not at Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sell price before tax, tax title, and income fees. Big dealer for details.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Seafood Festival time presented by Fiesta Pensacola. Enjoy the arts and crafts, fantastic music, and of course, the seafood. Friday through Sunday in Seville Square. See PensacolaSeafoodFestival.com. Enjoy our national parks, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, Fort Pickens, and Johnson's Beach with no fee Saturday during National Public Lands Day. Check out VisitPensacola.com for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Boo! Boo! That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Oh, bravo!
More!
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 From your city government and for us to be prepared. We've been doing that all day. Yesterday, started the meetings. Public Works has been out cleaning storm drains. We've identified our debris areas, all of those things that the citizen may not think about that are a huge part of any storm, no matter the severity, no matter if it's directly hitting Pensacola or we're on the outer bands of that. All of those things matter.
Mayor D.C. Reeves in his press conference yesterday talking about how staff has been out, you know, cleaning drains and cleaning gutters and making sure that nothing is obstructing the flow of stormwater away from, you know, wherever it falls. That's part of the process of preparing for a possible storm. Jenny Craner, Chief Pensacola Fire Department. We'll hear her comments in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives first. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service date. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So as I said, Jenny Craner, who is the emergency coordinator for the city of Pensacola, even though in an emergency, city defers to the county. The county basically runs the show. So, you know, Eric Gilmore is the Department of Public Safety manager and then director, I guess. Travis Tompkins is the emergency manager. So really, the county runs the show. The city just kind of folds in amongst them. But she says,
we are coordinating with Escambia County Emergency Management, and they're coordinating a daily National Weather Service briefing. City departments are prepared to respond. We are operating in a FEMA National Incident Management System cycle of our planned meetings and coordinating and activating our plans as necessary.
Yeah, which is what they should be doing. And also,
this storm is moving very quickly. We are still looking at changes, possible changes, and so we must be prepared for the eventuality of it coming here. And we will maintain that level of readiness and operation.
Yeah, and that's pretty much been the consensus among the local leaders as I've listened to them at both counties and the city of Pensacola is. And if you look at the tracks that have been coming out and the projections and the modeling, the basic track of this storm is to head up east of the point around Apalachicola, so east of Panama City, okay, to the Big Bend area. We are not expecting it to directly affect us. Of course, things can change. Of course, we should be aware. Of course, it's going to have a pretty big wind field. But really, in our area, we're expecting some rain and some wind Thursday evening over into Friday, and then it's going to push off onto shore and affect Georgia pretty heavily after it passes through the panhandle. Man, be praying for the people to our east because it's going to be very, very bad for them, possibly a Category 3 hurricane at landfall. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Department of Justice is suing Visa over alleged antitrust violations. Visa is being accused by the DOJ of monopolizing debit markets. Prosecutors say Visa controls debit network markets by using agreements with merchants, card issuers, and competitors. Attorney General Merrick Garland said that the unlawful conduct affects not just the price of one thing, but the price of nearly everything.
Yeah, I read a little bit about this. I don't feel like I fully understand it, but it has to do with sort of this trade-off of giving a preferential rate slash a penalty if you don't participate based on bulk of the service to the banks that really makes it virtually impossible for anybody to compete against them in this particular space to the tune of billions of dollars. Like, I think it was, I thought it, I don't want to make the number, but it's a really big dollar value involved in this. And if that behavior as a large entity is crowding out competition, you know, that's what monopolies do. On the other hand, if a big successful company just does something cheaper, it's hard to make the case that they're actually engaging in monopolistic behavior. So I'll be waiting to see how this lawsuit plays out. But that's kind of the rough gist of it. And again, I don't feel like I understand this one as well as maybe I should. But, you know, it's an interesting one for sure.
Absolutely. Senators questioned Novo Nordisk CEO Lars Jorgensen yesterday on why the U.S. customers are charged more for weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy than other countries.
Treat the American people the same way that you treat people all over the world. Stop ripping us off.
Bernie Sanders there, the Senate Health Committee chair, and Novo Nordisk apparently charges $969 a month for Ozempic in the U.S., but it's only $155 a month in Canada and only $59 a month in Germany.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Got lots of events coming up. We got the Dragon Boat Festival. Comes up on October the 12th. That's the 10th annual. That's, of course, a great thing. Enter a team or become a sponsor now. Find out more at newsradio923.com. Shredathon, October 5th, out at the fairgrounds. You can bring two boxes or 50 pounds per car, generally what you're looking at there. That's October 5th from 8 to 11.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. 61 of Florida's 67 counties are under a state of emergency as Tropical Storm Helene approaches. It's expected to become a powerful hurricane. We're anticipating Helene to become a major hurricane, taking aim on Florida's Big Bend and bringing widespread impacts for much of the state. Life-threatening storm surge, hurricane-force winds, power outages, over a foot of rain, and tropical tornadoes, all possible ahead of the storm as it moves inland tomorrow. That is Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Vice President Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania today to talk economy as former President Trump urges voters not to buy into her proposal, saying this at a rally in Savannah, Georgia.
The tax queen is demanding a 33% tax hike on all domestic production.
Trump will campaign in North Carolina today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Tropical storm Helene, expected to grow from a tropical storm into a major hurricane after it moves into the Gulf. Helene expected to grow in size as well as strength. It's expected to make landfall in the Big Bend area late tomorrow.
So we're going to have a significant storm surge threat along basically the entire west coast of the Florida Peninsula.
That is National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Jamie Rome. He says tropical storm force winds and storm surge could extend well beyond the cone for that storm. The cone runs from the Big Bend area to as far west as Panama City. Rainy weather also forecast. Showers moving in Wednesday. Breezy conditions Thursday. Winds will likely gust up to about 30 miles an hour for northwest Florida. Santa Rosa County working with Pensacola State College on a project that could benefit a lot of people who live in the neighborhood near Woodlawn Middle School. The county is working to build a new connector road from the nearby PSC campus to the school, which would cut down on bus traffic.
We're not going to have a open access for, you know, vehicles, but it's going to allow, right now those bus have to, every bus has to go through that subdivision to get to the school. So this will allow the bus route an entrance to the school and take all that out of that subdivision. So we thought that was a neat thing.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker, that project will be on the agenda later this week for the county board meeting. Someone on the south end of the 3 Mile Bridge is killing or maiming pigeons using a blowgun. Reports are surfacing about the discovery of 15 to 20 pigeons that have reportedly been injured. The birds were taken to the wildlife sanctuary of Northwest Florida. Unfortunately, not all of those birds have survived. Gulf Breeze police say they are conducting an ongoing investigation. The Broward Reproductive Freedom Collective hosted a virtual roundtable last night with experts, advocates, and healthcare providers. They were all discussing the Amendment 4 that'll be on the ballot in November. Governor Ron DeSantis against changing the six-week abortion ban.
We have elevated the importance of family and promoted a culture of life.
And Amendment 4 would have to pass with 60% of the vote. Florida's current law banning most abortions after 6 weeks would change to the point of viability, or roughly 24 weeks. Vice President Harris and former President Trump have now agreed to two separate town hall events. Next month, it'll be hosted by Univision. Journalist Enrique Avecito will be fielding questions from undecided Hispanic voters. Trump will have his town hall event October 8th in Miami. Harris will have one October 10th in Las Vegas. Both cities have large Hispanic populations. Recent polling shows Trump ahead in Florida. Harris takes the lead in Nevada. Univision's president says the 36 million Hispanic voters in the U.S. have the power to influence the outcome of the race for the White House. And Helene disrupting plans on the space coast. NASA announcing yesterday that they're postponing tomorrow's SpaceX launch of the Crew 9 mission. The new launch time scheduled for Saturday afternoon from Cape Canaveral. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on 9 Mile as you approach Highway 29. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have some scattered showers and thunderstorms today as we have a little more moisture building in. 70% chance of rain, high near 85, low tonight near 72 degrees. On Thursday, we will be looking at a high rain chance as a cold front starts to make its way into the area. 80% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. We are tracking Helene. It is expected to make landfall well to our east, but we will be seeing some rough coastal conditions as our main impact from this. Looking at a dangerous rip current day and some high surf. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it's 72 degrees in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Caroline Ellison, the star witness in the prosecution of FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried, has been sentenced to 2 years in prison and ordered to forfeit $11 billion. Ellison, who ran the Alameda Research hedge fund affiliated with FTX, agreed to a plea deal in 2022. OpenAI has announced that it started rolling out advanced voice mode for ChatGPT. It's available for users with ChatGPT subscriptions, which start at $20 per month. While the tool is quick to respond and can talk in different accents, users might run into a rate limit if it is overused in a single day. China's yuan briefly rose to its strongest level in over a year. This comes after Beijing unveiled a slate of stimulus measures to shore up the slowing economy. Futures are mixed after the Dow and the S&P 500 closed at another record high yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know the Port of Pensacola is more than just a name? It's the economic engine of Northwest Florida, a strategic powerhouse fueling growth with over 30 top-tier businesses like Cemex, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and soon, the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the port has been the heartbeat of our region's success, driving prosperity and opportunity. Discover the force behind our future at portofpensacola.com.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Morning, 640 News Radio, 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Bruce Woody. He is the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, responsible for trash collection and recycling and for water and for sewage and for yard waste. And if that's not enough, well, that is enough. It's a lot of stuff. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you. So I think kind of the board yesterday, mostly what it did was sort of formality stuff, nothing that rises to the level of stuff we normally talk about. Is that right? Kind of, I mean, has to be done, but isn't necessarily big stuff.
For the most part. I will mention one item that was approved last night. We are refunding $27 million worth of prior debt to take advantage of the lower interest rates that are coming along.
Oh.
We anticipate that this action will save anywhere between $1 million and $1.75 million for our ratepayers.
Okay.
The actual amount, of course, will be known when the bonds actually sold a little bit later this month.
Okay, well, great. Good. Improving my financial situation. I appreciate that.
That's right.
Something has come across my radar that I had been completely unaware of. I know you are aware of it, and I want to talk about it because I think most people have not even heard of this. I mean, if I hadn't heard of it, I think most people had not. The EPA and Florida Department of Environmental Protection, FDEP, had put out a deadline of October the 16th, and that's coming up in, you know, like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And the deadline was that you had to do an inspection and a remediation plan for lead service line replacement for water that would come to people's houses. And the way I understand it, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, and please explain anything you want to explain here, is that it would be not just ECUA's task, but every water service provider in the nation post-Flint to inspect the lines to make sure that there's no lead in them, to know what the materials are connecting people's water lines to your lines, and then to offer a plan for remediation. And this is a, again, my understanding, massive undertaking. And my concern is that we are not in a position to hit the mark. But I want to know from you what's going on. So you tell me. Explain anything here you want to explain, because I think this is new information to a lot of people.
Sure. Actually, we're in a very good position with where we're going.
Oh, great.
The,
okay.
The background in history is that, you know, clear back in 1981, the EPA issued a regulation to control lead and copper in drinking water for the purposes of protecting children and the communities from the risks of lead exposure. It's been updated several times. Most pertinent revision was in 2021, because you'll remember in 2014 in Flint, Michigan, they had a problem with their municipal water supply. They changed their water source from Lake Huron to the Flint River. This caused a problem in their water distribution system because it changed the pH of the water, and that allowed some corrosion to occur. And corrosion causes leaching of lead and other contaminants that might be in the distribution system. Well, the challenge is this new EPA rule. They're, as the federal government commonly does, they paint a broad brush across every situation, regardless of how it applies in a given situation.
Sure.
The most stringent and protective way of making sure that our nation's water supply is protected from lead, is all these rules and regulations, but they don't always, there are a lot of tasks that we have to do, even though we don't have a lead problem in our particular community, fortunately. The lead and copper rule requires that all public and private water utility companies across the United States to conduct a detailed survey of not just their water transmission and distribution pipe materials, but also the pipe materials owned by the private property owners on their side of the utility meter. That's quite a challenge because that's always been done by the local plumber or in a private property owner, as the case may be. The purpose of the program, of course, is to identify the possible presence of lead or pipe that could leach lead. The very good news for ECUA service area is that lead pipe has never been used in our area in the utility company system. We've never used it in transmission lines, distribution lines, nor the section leading up to the meter, except for some small transitions, and those were stopped use 20, 30 years ago. Lead is really a household plumbing piping issue, not a water problem. Our background water, the EPA and FDEP, puts a real strong limit of no more than 0.015 milligrams per liter of lead allowed in water. Our water consistently tests at not even a tenth of that and has always tested that low for decades.
Okay.
So we don't have a source water problem at all. We've never used lead in our transmission distribution system at all. So our issue is just to do that inventory of what's on the private side. Now, fortunately, still, even for our community, we're pretty good there as well. Dating back as late as 1954, the former city's franchise area had ordinances that outlawed the use of lead in the plumbing code. The county likewise, back to 1962. We also have evidence in the 62 and 56 standard plumbing codes where lead was not allowed. And we've also got some references back to 1949 that main extensions done by water franchisees at that time didn't use lead. So we have reduced our inventory of 102,000 services down to only 19%. Of that number that we don't have confirmed no lead in service lines beyond the meter going to the private homes.
Okay, so I want to make sure I heard you right. We've got about 120,000 sites to inspect, basically.
And 102, I'm sorry.
Oh, 102,000, okay. And you're saying that there's about 19 or 20,000 of those yet to be inspected that we can't verify yet that we've checked them according to this October 16th requirement. And I would just, I need to take a quick break for traffic, but do I have that basically right
sure.
so far?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. We'll be back with Bruce Woody in just a second. He's the executive director of ECUA. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Well, actually, the one that just popped up, I-110 southbound just a mile before Fairfield exit. No roadblock is associated with that one. But we're going to see some onlookers there. The rest of I-10 is flowing smoothly. If you're rolling through Milton, downtown Milton, going into East Milton, you're going to expect some delays heading down to the industrial complex. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody. Okay, so right before the traffic, we were talking about how there's this October 16th rule where water providers are obligated to inspect not just their own pipes and connections, but the connection to the residents to make sure that there's no to find out what materials there, make sure there's no lead, and if there is lead in any way, to figure out a remediation plan. You say that you've inspected somewhere around 80%, 81% of the 100,000 or so connections, and so there's about 19 or 20,000 yet to be. That seems like a massive task, even so, for 2.5 weeks. Are you going to get there, and what happens if you don't?
We're not required to have conducted all the inspections by that date. We're required to produce this map by that date. And it's our wishes to try to reduce that number as much as we can by doing a lot of advanced work.
Okay.
So we're pleased that we've got it all the way down to that number even before October 16th.
Okay. So the map is done, but the you've mapped 80% or you've inspected 80%.
We will have a map that shows the entire community. You can, on October 16th, you'll be able to go to our website, look up your particular address. You will see a dot on your particular address that will either be all green if we know what type of material on our side of the meter as well as is on the private side of the meter. If the dot is divided and part of it's blue and part of it's green, the green part is part that we've identified. Usually that will be our side because we pretty much know what's on our side. But if there's blue, then we haven't identified yet what's on the private side because
okay.
we don't own and maintain those sections.
Sure.
So either we've either ruled them out on more than 80% of our entire community because lead has just not been even allowed by city code since 1949 or 1954, depending whether you're in the city or the county. So it's only on the older housing stock that we still have to do some field investigations.
Okay. Well,
and
which sounds to me like very good news.
That.
I mean, if it's mostly not been available, then we don't have to be, you know, our baseline level of worry shouldn't be very high. It sounds like more it's just a matter of complying with this requirement from FDEP and the EPA. And it sounds like what you're telling me is that we will be 100% compliant with their requirements by October 16th, you think?
Yes. Yeah. One important point is after the 16th, any of those that we haven't identified on the private side, which is, again, that 19%, will be receiving a letter from us that's required by the EPA.
Okay.
It's a standard letter that lets everybody know what the potential hazards of lead may be and identifies the fact that we have not yet identified the service line material. As you can imagine, the EPA's required language is somewhat harsh and
yes.
might be a little intimidating about lead. It'll come with a letter from us as well that gives the background information that we just discussed. That there's so far we've not found any evidence of lead in our community.
So bad cop, good cop letters.
You're right.
Getting kind of both the context and the general. And then people going to be? I don't know who's responsible for doing that inspection. Is that going to be them having to pay for it? Is that going to be you guys are just going to come out and do? What happens next?
Yeah. Over the next 5-year period of time, we'll continue to do inspections. Every time that we're working on a service line, inspections for the purpose of just inspections, we'll be going through that remaining list and checking what the service line material is on the other side of the meter on the private side and then putting that into a report, and we'll reduce those numbers accordingly. Some of that we're doing through statistical analysis and sampling in given neighborhoods that are all constructed of the same era. But that takes time to go through all of that.
Great. Very good. Well, that sounds like we're sort of planning for it, and I'm sure you've been thinking about it for quite some time, and we're, getting there, so to speak, which is good. And we'll hit the October 16th deadline. I appreciate that. Last quick question for you, Bruce, before you go is preparations for the storm. What are you guys doing? Are you doing much? The city I know is cleaning out pipes and storm drains and things like that. What kind of activity has ECUA been doing?
Yeah, even before this was a named storm, and it was still in the Caribbean when they were forecasting that it was had some potential for somewhere in the Gulf. We'd already raised our threat level to OPCON 1, which for us means that we top off the fuel and every single generator across the community and all of our vehicles. Make sure that all of our outside facilities are secure against wind damage, adjust schedules, vacation, et cetera, for staff, make sure we have the maximum staff available. Because since that time, it has swung quite a bit to the east. We haven't had to go to our next preparation level, fortunately for our community. But we are also a member of the Florida Warn System, and we've already been contacted by parties to the east there's always a chance we might be providing some help and assistance to our peers who are being hit by this hurricane later this week.
Very good. And, you know, we're just totally out of time. I kind of had wanted to ask you about recycling, as looks like Santa Rosa tomorrow is going to authorize a move to Okaloosa County away from you guys. The city has already, you know, done that. And, you know, the city of Milton has just stopped recycling entirely. I'm guessing the short answer on all this is you guys haven't been dependent on income generated from those. And, you know, there are still plenty of customers for servicing the MRF. Is that basically where we're at?
Yeah, ECUA remains committed to recycling. I'm a little concerned about the decision in Santa Rosa. It's going to cost them quite a bit more to do that, but that's a financial decision, obviously, they need to make on their own.
All right, very good. Bruce Woody is the executive director of ECUA. Bruce, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed, especially about an issue that, I mean, until like, you know, a couple of days ago, I didn't know anything about. So I appreciate that you guys have been working on this. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 654 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, in case you're just tuning in. Yeah, we're not expecting this storm. It continues to congeal. The path continues to solidify right around just east of the point and into the Big Bend area. So we are not expecting significant impacts here, but we are always aware that things can change. But that's kind of where we're at the moment. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that one accident on I-110 southbound right around mile marker number 4. No roadblock is associated with that one, but I am seeing some slowdowns. I-10, the rest of I-10 is rolling good. Even Highway 90 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Boogie Incorporated, the Gulf Coast leader in DJ entertainment, is celebrating their 45th year.
And they're just getting started.
If you're planning a wedding, employee party, class reunion, school dance, or an outdoor event or festival, why not use the best for less? Call Boogie Incorporated at 850-438-1660.
That's 850-438-1660.
Or go to BoogieInc.com.
Remember,
wherever Boogie goes, a party is bound to follow.
Sweet chocolate reward, sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
Oh. Good morning, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. Postal Service restarting its free at-home COVID-19 tests offer by the end of the month. That program allows U.S. households to order up to 4 COVID tests at home if that's something you'd like to have on hand. The U.S. Health and Human Services Agency, which oversees COVID testing, has not announced an exact date for that ordering to begin.
Talk about a great Christmas gift, too, though.
Oh, the best. And it's free. The price is right. Hey, and a boy that was kidnapped from a park in California 70 years ago was found alive and well. He's a senior citizen now. He's been reunited with his loved ones. His niece apparently found him through a DNA search.
What? How long ago?
70 years ago. He was kidnapped in 1951.
What? What? Wow.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.